But also, if you're visiting with us today, I want you to understand that the Bible talks about money more than anything else. And this whole month we've been spending talking about what God expects of us, what He expects of our money, and us as stewards. And I know when you talk, when a church, you know, it's funny, if you guys go home and talk about money, no big deal, unless you don't have it and you want it. And if you go somewhere else to a business and they talk about money, no big deal. But man, if you go to a church and the pastor talks about money, holy moly, man, the world's just going to come apart. What right does that pastor have to talk to me about my money? Well, I don't want to talk to you about your money. I want to talk to you today about what God says about His money. Okay, so we have to keep the right perspective of the conversation, or in this particular case, of my preaching, because you're not talking back to me. Okay, so today we're talking about money. We're wrapping it up, and I also want you to realize, too, that one out of every six verses in the New Testament deals with money. Money is talked about more than heaven and hell combined. I'm just saying, guys. All right. Now let's get in here, because here's what I want you to look at. This is what I want you to get. I want you to land on knowing where your heart is. Not how much money you're going to give. I don't care about that. I'm not looking for your money. Today, I want you to look at your heart. And you compare your heart with what you want versus what God wants, and that'll tell you your spirituality. Your spiritual maturity, if you will. Okay? And so that's what I want you to do today, is I want you to see how spiritually mature you are. All right. Malachi 3, chapter 3. Well, I was actually going to start in 3:8, but I'm not going to do that. I changed course about an hour ago. Don't you love that when that happens? I love it. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask six questions. In the process of asking the six questions, I'm going to answer them for you. See, I've taken and done all your homework, too. I'm a good pastor, right? I give you homework and do it for you. All right. So the first question we're going to look at today is, what should be the tither's attitude? You know, because when you talk about money, again, it stirs people up. And again, I want you to get the idea that we're finishing up stewardship month. It happens once a year, and I don't apologize for it. I'm just letting you know that I don't preach on money, but the month of November, okay? And it's for 3 weeks. So what should be your attitude? Because some of you are sitting here going, oh, he's talking about money. That's a poor attitude, just so you know. But I want you to see it from the book of Malachi, and I want you to see how they thought about it. Because here's what we have. The book of Malachi is really to bring God's people back in order. Because what's happened is their heart is out of order. Their heart, they have a major attitude toward God. And as a matter of fact, it's not just an attitude toward God. It is so major, and it is literally almost blasphemous, the attitude that he has, that they have toward God. And so Malachi is writing this, and of course he's writing what God says. I want you to look in Malachi chapter 1. Just one page back, Malachi chapter 1. And we're going to kind of look at their attitude. And you know, here's what I want you to do. I don't want anybody to raise their hand and say it's me, but I want you to see if you fit into the category of any of these people that God's dealing with. Malachi chapter 1. Verse 2. And so what we have here is Israel is loved by God. And 1:2 says, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? The attitude. God says, I've loved you. Listen, God says, I took you out of the wilderness. I provided for you. I fed you. I made sure you had water. And the water came out of the rock. And then you knew it was of me. You knew I was taking care of you. And then you weren't happy with the food I was giving you. I brought manna down. You wanted, listen, I took care of you. Your sandals never wore out. I took care of you. And then they say to God, how have you loved us? In what way? Tell me, God. Do you sense the arrogance in these people? Do you sense the unappreciative attitude in these people? God, what way? Well, then I want you to look down And because they're not giving him his honor, they're not giving him what's due. And then that, look down in 1:6. In 1:6, what's happening here is this picks up where God starts reminding them and talking to them about their offerings. And he says, listen, your offerings are polluted. They are polluted, they're nasty, they're not even worthy to give to anybody, and you're going to offer them to me. Look here in 1:6, he says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, not a father, but the father, Father God, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? You know, we say, oh God, you're God, I love you, God, and you know, if we need help in prayer, we get on the phone, we call them up, hey, can you pray for me? Can you get me on a prayer list? Can you do this? Can you do that? And you're like, oh yeah, absolutely, we can do that. And then we do, man, we go to God on your behalf, you go to God on your behalf, and then when God seems to fix the problem for you, you're like, appreciate it, dude, see ya. Isn't that what we do? We honor men more than we do God. And God recognizes it. Matter of fact, go to chapter 1, go to verse 8. And I want you to look here in verse 8, and he says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? Because see, God says, you're supposed to give me the good stuff. You're supposed to give me the first fruits. You're supposed to give me the pure offerings. But you know what? You're giving me leftovers. You're giving me tips. You're giving me whatever you decide you don't want, or whatever you think you can live without. You're giving me you're giving me junk. That's what he's saying. He says, you know what? And that's evil. So look here, he says, and when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Then I love what God says to him. Offer it then to your governor. Yeah, go ahead and give it to your governor. That'd be like the president. Go ahead, give it to your governor. But he doesn't stop there. He says, would he be pleased with you? Would the gift that you're giving to your governor, if you gave him what you gave me, would he be pleased? No, he wouldn't be pleased. He says, would he accept you favorably? No. And God says here in verse 6, he says, if I'm the father, where is my honor? If I'm the master, where is my reverence? You give better gifts to the governor than what you do to me, your creator. And he says, and it shouldn't be that way. You should reverence me because I created you. You should honor me because I give you the very breath that you breathe. Listen, I'm the one that rescues you. I'm the one that made your sandals not wear out. I'm the one that gave you the job that you got. I'm the one that supplies your needs. I'm the one that takes care of every need you have. And you won't honor me? You won't reverence me? But you let somebody else walk by? You let a stranger walk by and you'll give more to them than you would me? You'll take care of them better than what you do our relationship? And we do that, guys. I don't know about you, but if I'm not careful, I could easily get my eyes off God and go my own way. Anybody else in here with me, or am I all alone? We do that, don't we? Oh, wait a minute. That's status. And so if I can get close to that person, man, that will elevate me up to the next level. And so it's all right. It's kiss-up time. It's like you make buddies with the boss. I know nobody in here does that. I'm just saying it could happen. And God says, that's what's happened. Look, this is what you are doing, people. And he says, it needs to stop. You need to honor me and reverence me as God. I have the power to take your life. And he says, not only your life, but your soul too. Doesn't he say in the Bible, don't fear the one that can take your life, but the one that can take your life, that has power over your life and your soul? That's God. No man has that kind of power over you. God is the only one. Why do we reverence him so little? You know, do we want success in our life? I'm not talking finances, guys. I'm not talking money. I'm talking heart condition here. I'm talking heart attitude here. Forget the dollar bill. Forget the dollar sign. That is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is God says, I want you to look at your heart. And how are you serving me? Look what you want from me, but look what you give to me. I don't have you. I don't have your stuff. I don't have your money. I don't have your heart. I don't have your time. I don't have your prayers. I don't have your mind. I don't have anything. And he says, it shouldn't be that way. What's the attitude that you have toward God? Are you struggling? Listen, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they didn't get what they felt they should have got, and out of a fit of anger, they cussed God. And my question was this, and of course, you know, telling the pastor, they go under a little bit of pressure. No need to go under pressure. I mean, look, I'm a person just like you. I was about to say a man, but some of you aren't a man like me. And so, you know, but here's the thing. We all get in the flesh if we're not careful. And he says, you know what? I cuss God. And I said, why? Why would you cuss God for the problem that you're facing? And this is what I was told. I guess he was just the easiest one to blame. Don't we do that? Not only do we not reverence Him, and not only do we not give Him of our time and our resources, but if things don't go our way, then we cuss Him. Well, thanks for nothing, God. See you on the next trip. Right? What an attitude we have. And God says, listen, it shouldn't be that way because you wouldn't do that to your governor. You wouldn't treat your governor that way. You wouldn't treat your president that way. Why are you treating the creator of the world that way? Why are you treating your creator that way? The one who gives you the very breath and life that you have. Do you have children? Guess what? It says that children are a gift from the Lord. You didn't get them because you got them. You got them because God gave you the ability to have them. I know some of you are going, whew, yeah, he could have spared that gift every now and then. I don't know. But God says that children are a gift from Him. You didn't do it. We overlook what God really gives us. You got good health? Look how many people don't have it. We overlook what God really gives us. And so I want you to see that the people to whom Malachi wrote, they were struggling with their attitude. And if a person's attitude is unhealthy, it will affect everything in their spiritual life. And your spiritual life will affect everything in your life, period. If you are spiritually off balance, you will be mentally off balance. You will be off balance with your wife, with your children, with your boss, with your work. You will be off balance. I remember many a times I would drive down 90 in these last 4 years, because I'll be honest with you, I've went through some struggles in 4 years. I really have. I've had to process a lot. I've had to grow a lot and being the pastor of my first church, and I didn't go in and start a church. I mean, take over a church. We had to start it and start it from where we're going to meet to where now we're here, and where we're going to go here, and we're knocking out walls down there. And so the decisions I make not only affect everyone sitting in the room, but they affect everyone that will be sitting in this room. And I had to process all that. And so I did. I was processing it. I was looking at it. I was weighing it out. And man, there's times I go down 90 and I'm just going, God, right now I feel so far from you. God, I feel empty. God, I feel spiritually wounded. And then times, God, I feel spiritually dead. God, I'm reading your word and it's like nothing's going in. God, I'm praying and it's like everything's hitting the ceiling and coming back down. And why? What was my attitude? My attitude was, God, why am I going through this? You should have a hand on me. Now, I wasn't saying it out loud, but that's what my heart was. And that's why I was struggling. Because my heart wasn't right with God. For me, it wasn't a money issue. I give God every dime I have. I don't care, because He takes care of me. He sustains me. Man, He does fantastic. And believe me, I didn't come here looking for a paycheck. I gave up paychecks to come here. Many of you know I had my own business. It was easy to make $500 a day or $1,000 a day. I don't make that here, just so you know. But you know what? God, it doesn't matter, because God blesses me and He takes care of me and He takes care of my family. But when my heart's not right, I'm not right. If my heart's not right with God. So the first question is, what should be the tither's attitude? Your attitude should be one of reverence and honor and thankfulness. Gratitude, that's what your attitude should be. I'm not even going to go over my illustration because if I do, we're never going to get out of here. Okay, the attitude of your heart must be healthy, and God wants to help you with your attitude. Now, there's some times where I'd like to help you with your attitude, but it just wouldn't be in a godly way because I just like, threw that at God about 5 times just because. I know, I deserve it too, I know, but I'm just letting you know. And so God says, oh, son, just be glad I'm God. And I am long-suffering, and I've extended grace to you, too. Thank you, Jesus. Right? We've all been there. We all need smacked down, but God's long-suffering, and He loves us. All right. In the Old Testament, we see several people who had a healthy attitude. And so, and then we're going to look at Abraham for one. Genesis 14:2. After completing a military mission, Abraham was overwhelmed with gratitude. He wanted to thank God for all the blessings that he had gotten. And so, what he did is he offered a tithe as an expression of gratitude. And so, in Genesis 14:2, and you can make a note of that. It says, "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and He gave him a tithe of all." He gave him a tithe. Why? Because he realized that everything that he received was of God. He realized that he couldn't have done anything. He took 300 men and conquered an army. Have you ever read about Gideon? How many have ever read about, man, he's going to fight an army, he takes 10,000 men. And God says, nope, you're not taking 10,000 men. What, God? Yep, you're not going to take 10,000 men. Okay, God, how many men should I take? Well, here's what I want you to do. And he gives them a series of things to have his men do to narrow them all down. They finally get to the pond, and he says, okay, the one that drinks like a horse. I think it was a horse. If somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the one that drinks like a horse. Not like a dog, but drinks like a horse. In other words, he sticks his mouth down there and just sucks the water up like a horse would. And those are the men that you take. And he ends up with 300 men. And he goes and conquers this army, and none of the 300 get hurt. And he conquers this army of 20,000 because God's hand was in it. Because God was with it. And I just want you to know that when your heart is right and you want to do what God wants you to do, guess what He'll do? He'll empower you to be successful. Again, it's not about the money. I don't care about the money. Unfortunately, the money is what usually captures people. And so that's why we talk about it. It's not about the money. It's about the attitude toward God. What is your attitude? Do you think that you are King Tut, Lord Almighty? Then raise your right hand if you can save yourself. Isn't that what God told Job to do? And Job was intelligent. He sat on that thing. He refused to raise it because he knew he couldn't save himself. And I just want you to know that your attitude should be one of thankfulness. In Genesis 28:2, Jacob, he was struggling with some personal issues. And he finally cries out to God, and God gives him the offer, gives him the answers. And this is what he says in 28:22. "And this stone which I have set a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." See, it's not about the money, it's about the attitude. Jacob said, "Listen, I recognize who you are, God, and I am going to honor you above anybody else because of who you are. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to reverence you." That's what he says. It's attitude. Money gets in the way of our attitude, doesn't it? Sometimes? Just occasionally? Maybe? Sure it does. We think we can do more with it than God. God, you give me 100% of it, guaranteed, I'll blow it. But if I take 90, man, I can do everything with 90 and have money left over. I'm telling you, sometimes I don't know how it. If I sat down with an ink pen, we don't even do it, I think because we're afraid to. But if we sat down with a pen and paper and started writing down, the outgoing versus the incoming, every month it would be upside down. Every month. Guaranteed it. I don't know about your house, but my house, it would. And this is crazy. I've been debt-free since 1994. The only thing I owe on is my house. But New York's proud of their houses. So, we go, wow, how does this work? It's God. Literally, it's God. There is no other way. Wow, I'm not even off of question two. One. Okay, I'm skipping all that. All right. Second question. No, I can't even go to the second one yet. Man, I'm going to stretch this out 3 more weeks. Listen, there's 3 areas you need to examine yourself, and then the next question is I'll buzz through, okay? Setting the foundation. 3 areas that you need to examine your life. And these areas, they absolutely affect your attitude. And I don't have them on your paper, so you may have to write them down. I don't think I put it on there. No, I know I didn't. Okay. But these 3 areas. One, a person should be saved. A person should be saved. Listen, if you're not saved, if your relationship is not right with Jesus Christ, in other words, there's never been a day where you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, save your soul, you repented and said, God, I'm yours now, do with me as you please. By the way, that's a tough thing to do sometimes, isn't it? Okay, God, I'm yours, which means I've got to give up drinking, smoking, cussing, and running around with everybody who does, and I'm not saying you're going to do all that. God will deal with you on that. But you know what? In our mind, we go, wow, I'm not ready to give up stuff. Well, then your attitude stinks because your relationship's not right with Jesus. Okay, so the first thing is that we should be saved. The second thing is a person should be satisfied. Satisfied. You should have that peace within you. The peace that passes all understanding. Your life should not be a life of turmoil. You should have a calmness within. So that when everything outside of you is falling apart, nothing within you is falling apart. That's that peace. And it only comes through being saved, having that relationship with Jesus Christ. And then a person should be sold out. Sold out. You must be committed. Committed to trusting God. Listen, I'm not asking you to commit to give to the church. I'm not asking you to commit to do anything. I'm asking you to commit to trusting God. The one that we trust Him with our life, but we don't trust Him with our dollar. We give God all the credit in the world. We just hold on to the cash. Some of you will get that in a moment. Maybe not. Maybe there's just heavy conviction in the room. Maybe I'm just terrible at jokes. All right, second question. What should be the amount of the tithe? What should be the amount of the tithe? The amount should be a tenth. A tithe is a tenth. So God gives us 100%. We give Him back 10%. We live on 90, and then He does what He wants with 10. We say, well, why does God want my money? Doesn't He own everything? Yep, including you. Why does He want my money? Because your heart and your attitude is attached to your wallet. And if He can get the 10%, it usually frees us up to serve Him, because we're not attached to that dollar bill. Leighton Farrell was a minister of Highland Park Church in Dallas for many years. He tells of a man in a church who once made a covenant with a former pastor to tithe 10% of their income every year. They were both young and neither of them had much money, but things changed. The layman tithed $1,000 the year he earned $10,000. $10,000 the year he earned $100,000. And $100,000 the year he earned $1 million. But the year he earned $6 million, he just could not bring himself to write that check for $600,000 to the church. He telephoned the minister, long since having moved to another church, and asked to see him. Walking into the pastor's office, the man begged to be let out of the covenant, saying, this tithing business has to stop. It was fine when my tithe was $1,000, but I just cannot afford $600,000. You've got to do something, Reverend. The pastor knelt on the floor and prayed silently for a long time. Eventually, the man said, what are you doing? Are you praying that God will let me out of the covenant to tithe? No, said the minister. I am praying for God to reduce your income back to the level where $1,000 will be your tithe. Because, see, it's not because the minister didn't want him making a lot of money. The minister wanted him to understand that it's not about the dollar. It's about the heart. And if your heart will be right at $1,000, the minister's saying, I'd rather you go back to tithing $1,000 because then your heart was right. That's what it's all about, guys. Zero to do with the dollar. It's everything to do with the heart. And the minister's saying, listen, if it was easy at 1,000 spiritually, you were right then. Go back to where you were right. Go back to where your heart was right. That's all God wants. We get hung up on the mundane things, or we get hung up on materialism. We get hung up on a dollar. You know, I talk to people all the time. They go, I'm broke, I'm broke. I love this. My first question is, do you smoke? Yeah. Shut up. I mean, be quiet very, very much. Thank you. Please. Sorry. Right? Who's got $10 a day to blow on cigarettes? I don't. $10. Okay, when they were $2.80, smoke away. I don't care. $10? Don't complain to me. You're broke. If you do a pack a day, you're blowing $300 a month. On what? Medicare, Medicaid. It's insane. Some of you are going to go under pressure here. Drink coffee? Just some of you. Yeah. All of a sudden, nobody's looking at me. They're all going, not me. Drink coffee? How about that 3-4 cups a day at $4? I mean, Starbucks. It's insane. I'm down to maybe 2 frat pays a week. Maybe. Usually one. And I don't even drink coffee, but them frat pays are good. I think there's something in there that causes an addiction. I'm not sure yet. I'm gonna keep drinking to find out. Okay. So the tenth may seem to be a large amount, but listen, it's the beginning point. And it's not about the tenth. It's about your attitude toward God. It's about your heart. If you can't trust God with your dollar, how are you sure you can trust Him with your life? You know? I don't know. I'm going to jump that page. Man, that's a good one of Malachi, though. I got to go back there. Okay. Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. It doesn't say if you would like or if you want to, and that's in Proverbs. Because here's what I love. Most people will tell me, well, you're in the Old Testament, Pastor. And the Old Testament just doesn't hold weight anymore. It's the Old Testament. We don't live under the law anymore. We're under grace. Okay? The promise that the world would never be destroyed with a flood again. How many believe that's true? How can you believe that? That's the Old Testament. There's nothing in the New Testament that says the world will never end with a flood. The rainbow was a promise in the Old Testament, and yet we hold on to that promise. We believe that promise until it doesn't sit well with us. Then we find something else to believe. Or then we argue it. And I'm just here to tell you guys, in Proverbs 3:9, honor, that's a command, the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. That possessions is not just money. It's everything you are. It is all you are. It encompasses you completely. It is your heart. Don't you possess that heart? Don't you possess the free will to say yay or nay? I'm telling you, God says honor Him. Now, contextually, He's talking finances here. But for message sake, I want you to see it's everything. It's your heart. Guys, if He gets your heart, nothing else will get in the way. And I know the concept of tithing is hard for some, and it's got to be learned for some. Some of you go, wow, I just can't do this. This is going to take time. Start where you can. I don't care. Look, the average Christian only gives 2.5%. Start there. Be average. I don't care. Just start. Honor God so that you can see how He honors you. That's all I'm asking you to do, is just step out and trust God. I don't care if you do it with a buck. If that's all the more your faith is, put a dollar there. Trust God. See if He doesn't increase it. Trust God. Sacrifice a happy meal once a week. Trust God. I don't care how you do it. I just want you to tithe. I want you to give to God because I want you blessed. Third question, what priority should tithing be given? Well, look here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi 3, 8. Is everybody okay in here temp-wise? Okay. All right. Those that are really warm, if they're comfortable, it's hot in here. I'm just kidding. All right. All right. I won't turn the air on until the sweat's running in my eyes and I can't see anymore. Okay. I'm going to put a magic button right here. All right. I want you to go to Malachi 3:8. Malachi 3:8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." So what is the what priority should tithing be given? Well, look here in 9, verse 9. He says, "You robbed me with tithes and offerings," in 8, and then verse 9 he says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me." I'm thinking that since God says that Malachi indicates that refusal to tithe is equivalent to robbing God in verse 8, and then in verse 9 we're told that refusal to tithe can lead to a curse, I'm thinking that priority to tithing in God's eyes is up there. Now, I'm just guessing. All I got to go by is His Word. I know that's a shot in the dark, but I thought I'd take it. Guys, listen, because I know some of you are getting under pressure. I get under pressure when I preach on money. I get under so much pressure. Some of you are probably not as under as much pressure as I'm under. But then also, everybody doesn't have your email address and your phone number, and they want to call and talk to you and complain. And I've had a lot of people go, "Pastor, I just don't agree." Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you don't agree. It's not my blessing getting stripped away. It's yours. Okay. That didn't help me any, did it? Okay. So, I don't know why I struggle so much with this topic. Every year I put myself through it. Okay. So Malachi says, listen, if you refuse to tithe, you're robbing God. If you refuse to tithe, then it can lead to a curse. So I think God's priority is way up there. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Because here's what God says, listen, you've robbed me, you kept from me, you give me poor offerings back here. Remember in 1, He says, man, you wouldn't listen, go give it to your governor, see if he would appreciate it. He wouldn't appreciate it. You've treated me bad, you've given me a poor attitude, you've thrown me to the curb at every turn. That's what God says, right? But then He says this, after He says you've robbed me, and you're going to be cursed with a curse, in verse 10 He says, bring all the tithes into my storehouse. What's the storehouse? The church. That there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you won't even be able, you won't have room to receive it all. So He starts out here and He says, listen, guys, I could curse you. I could strike you down. But if you'll just be obedient, if you'll just be obedient, I'll bless you. That's all I want, God says. I just want you to be obedient. Obedient. That's all God wants. Leviticus 27:3 says this, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. It's holy to Him. In other words, He wants it. It's valuable. If it's holy to Him, it is valuable to Him. Whenever something is a priority, it is characterized by two special decisions. A priority is protected, and a priority is given commitment. A priority is protected, and a priority is given commitment. All right, question 4. What is the place to give your tithe? Well, according to Malachi, the place is to take the tithe is the storehouse. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, which we learned last week about the widow's mite, we read about the occasion when Jesus sat and He observed people bringing their gifts to the temple. And so we see a storehouse, we see the temple, it's the church. Today, the modern, what we use as storehouse or temple, today we call it the local church. The local church. Not TV evangelists and all that, because they move your TV or something, but it's the local church so you can take care of the community. All right. In Acts 4:35, the believers brought their gifts and laid them at the apostles' feet. Now look, I'm not asking you guys to bring all your gifts and lay it at my feet, although that would be pretty cool. I could just stand here like this and watch you just lay it all at my feet. I don't know that I could do that. But they would do that to the apostles. They would bring it all. Why? Because it was the beginning of the church. The church hadn't been established yet. And so they were bringing it to them so that they could use, they were trusting them to manage their gifts. And so that's when the church started beginning as well. But they weren't organized at that point. The fifth question. What is the purpose of tithing? Why do we have to tithe? God's tithe supports God's work. God's tithe supports God's work. Some of you would never have received Christ had it not been for you coming to a church. Some of you would be struggling, literally, you would be struggling, needing counsel, and have no place to have gotten a counsel to get the success you have, except for you came to church. Some of you said, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I love Jesus. My husband, he's out there. He's a kook. He's a nut. And I just want him saved. Well, you know what? The men in the church get together and say, hey, let's go get this kook. Let's go get this nut and see if we can't get him to receive Christ. That's his ultimate gift. Once he gets saved and his attitude will be right, his heart will be right, and his marriage will be right. And guess what happens because of the church? The man gets right with God. He gets right with his marriage. He gets right with his kids. He gets right with his employer, and everybody's happy. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the church, and people say, well, I don't have to come to church to serve God. I don't have to come to church to worship God. You're absolutely right. But 9 times out of 10, if you don't come to church, you don't do it. Just doesn't happen. Because Satan will put so many things in your way, and he'll distract you so many ways, that you're not going to worship God. You're not going to spend time with God. You're not going to praise God. You're not going to honor God. Not outside the church. It's just not going to happen. Well, I don't like organized religion. Well, you're not doing anything on your own, so why don't you get in on the group? Besides that, Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Especially when you see that end day coming. And guys, I see the end day coming. It's a command. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Be in church. So, what is the purpose of tithing? It supports God's work. In Malachi, he talks about in verse 10 that the priest represented God in his work, and it was given to feed the priest. But you know what? God's work is supporting the clergy. It's supporting evangelistic endeavors. It's supporting missionaries. It's supporting relief efforts. You know, we've helped put roofs on houses. We've paid for that. I'm telling you, we've done some things. As small as we are, we've done a lot of things. We're feeding 34 families Thanksgiving dinner this Thanksgiving in their own home. 32. I'm a typical preacher. I like to run numbers up. And so, but 32, it is teaching Bible studies and discipleship studies. It is providing a place to worship, providing discipleship literature, Bible school for the children. It teaches our children. I'm telling you, what does your money go for? It goes for a place where people can learn and grow and be stable in society. Have you noticed or looked at society today? Have you seen how off the chart families are? I'm telling you, I want to smack people's kids. I'm just telling you. Go out in public and they're screaming and throwing a fit and you can't even talk, you can't hear yourself. And the parents look at them and go, they're kids, what do you want me to do? Beat them! At home, listen. Divorce is off the chart. People pulling guns and killing people is off the chart. Beating their spouse, whether it's... And I'm telling you, the women are just as abusive to the men as the men are to the women. So don't blame... And there's another couple I'm counseling. And don't blame... You know, it's crazy. Why? Because people are off the chart. They can't even think right anymore. Why is it that common sense isn't so common anymore? People are crazy. They need Jesus. A church supplies the place to heal them spiritually. And when that healing happens, it just goes out. It's like taking a pond and throwing a rock it in a pond. It just reverberates out all throughout. I'm telling you, that's what the church does. So, what is the purpose of tithing? to support your neighbors and your community. The only way to build a consistent, purposeful work for God is for God's people to be consistent, disciplined, and regular in their giving. It cannot be a hit or miss proposition. Some years ago, a man named Edwin Bond contributed a story to a magazine that perfectly illustrates this point. Mr. Bond said, a minister went to the shop of one of his members to get a haircut. In the course of the conversation, the minister suggested that since the barber's business was prospering, he'd hoped the church could count on his liberal support of the budget. I don't know if I could ever do that, but somebody can. This seemed to irritate, I mean, I can support the budget, I just don't know if I could ask the man for it. This seemed to irritate the barber. All I hear is money, money, money. I know nobody in here has that attitude. He exclaimed, I think a person should give what he pleases instead of hearing about all those systematic and proportionate amounts you're always preaching about. The minister said nothing, but when the haircut was finished, he gave the barber 30 cents. The barber declared with indignation that it wasn't nearly enough. The minister said, I thought I should give as I felt inclined. But, the barber protested, I can't pay my expenses if people just give me any amount they happen to have in their pockets. Producing the rest of the fee, the minister said, neither can the church carry on the Lord's work unless the people appreciate his blessings and give back to him what is rightly his. Isn't that it, guys? I'm not here for your money. And this church isn't here just to, as a place to put money in. This church is here to do the Lord's work. It's here to change your life. It's here to change your neighbor's lives. It's here. Listen, you find somebody who is a solid Christian, and I mean solid, not a hypocrite, a solid Christian that really reads his Bible and really prays and really seeks to do the will of God, and you will find a solid man or woman. You go to them for advice. You seek them out. Because you know they're right with God, and that's what you want. Even when you're not. It takes a while sometimes. Some of you are just pretty thick-headed. But it takes a while. I say that lovingly. Alright, by giving the tithe, we are able to regularly, systematically, and proportionally support and carry on God's work. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. I want you to see that that verse teaches three important principles about giving. It should be regularly, that's each week. It should be systematically, laying something aside. It should be proportionately, as he has prospered you. By giving a tithe, you maintain the proportion of what God blesses you. You know, I sent out a quote. I sent out quotes. Some of you get them, some of you don't. But I sent out a quote. It says, give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. I thought it was better than that. Okay, do you not know that those who minister the holy things... Oh, here's one of the questions I get. Should pastors get paid? Listen, I've had people tell me, you need to come by and visit me because that's what you get paid to do. Well, you're not the one paying me, so should I still come by and visit you? Man, you guys are drawing up tight on me toward the end, aren't you? Alright. I just don't think a pastor should get paid. That should be his ministry. That's what I've been told. I've also been told or asked, so, when are you going to get a real job? Because, you know, listen, I only work 1 hour a week, and that's right here. After that, that's it. I don't do nothing else, guys. Some of you are going, I didn't know that. It's because it's not true. Should a pastor get paid? Because some people get hung up on paying the pastor. I'm not here to get your money. I just want you to know that what I do get paid is justified. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 9:13-14. You can write it down. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And then if you want to go a step farther, it says that I'm due double honor if I'm doing it right. Maybe I'm not doing it right, baby. I don't know. The ultimate purpose of the tithe is to honor God. Our natural inclination is to keep it for ourselves and not honor God. Question 6. Man, I'm going to land this plane on time. The 6th question. What are the requirements for tithing? As a matter of fact, I got a question the other day. Should I tithe on the net or the gross? Well, as the pastor, tithe on the gross. But this is what I said. It's between you and God. You pray about it. Do you want net blessing or gross blessing? It's really where it ends up. I mean, I don't know how else to answer it. It's in what you want to do. You pray about it, and you give with a cheerful heart, and God honors that. Of course, there's been times where I've given, and I haven't been real cheerful about it. But God really knows that I don't mind. I just didn't have my attitude right. All right, so what are the requirements for tithing? The first requirement is obedience. It's obedience. Guys, obedience is not the easiest thing, but it is the most required. God doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about your possessions. He doesn't care what you do or where you go. He doesn't care about any of that. But here's what He cares about. If your attitude is right and if you're obedient, and let me tell you something, the success you have in life, and I'm not talking financial success, I'm talking within yourself, that inner peace, that jungle that's within you. If you are right with God, if you are obedient and you are right with God, He blesses you. He blesses you. And it happens in so many ways. I'm not talking money. I am talking blessing in so many ways. I'm talking blessing by your car running, by your keeping your job. There are so many ways that God can bless you. You have a need and it shows up at the door. God can bless you. On and on and on and on about blessings. But it happens when you're right with God. The second thing, B, tithing requires trust. Not trusting me. Do you trust God? He's the one asking for it. And He's the one telling you, I will bless you. Now, I'm going to do this because I trust my God. If you're here and you've never tithed before, I want you to pray about it. Next week is All Tither Sunday. If you never prayed or never tithed before and you never plan on tithing again, we just ask that you tithe that one day. It gives us an idea of in 2 weeks. Wow, so you got longer to pray about it and longer to raise more money. And so I want you to pray about it and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to trust God. And if you choose to step out and trust God, and He doesn't bless you, I will give you every dime back that you gave for that week. Every dime. So if you write a check to me for $10,000 and 30 days later God hasn't blessed you, I'll give it right back to you. I'm giving you a 30-day guarantee on God's money. That's big. Because it's not about me and it's not about the church, it's about you. It's about you experiencing God. That's all it's about. It's about you experiencing God. Verse 10 says, 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this. Prove me, test me, God says, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. God's promise that He will bless us if we tithe. That requires that we trust God. All acts of faith begin with trust. There was a story of a missionary in Africa who received a knock on the door of his hut one afternoon. Answering the missionary found a native boy holding a large fish in his hands. The boy said, Reverend, you taught us that tithing, what tithing is, so here, I've brought you my tithe. As the missionary gratefully took the fish, he asked the boy, if this is your tithe, where are the other 9 fish? At this, the boy beamed and said, oh, they're still back in the river. I'm going back to catch them now. He trusted God. And that's all I want you to do. But not just with your finances. I just want you to step out and know that God is God. But you can't do that if you don't somewhere along the line step out above what you are willing to give, above what could be your ability, and trust God. Faith is not giving. Listen. I have the faith that I can give this water away. Didn't cost me anything. I got a whole fridge full down there. Besides that, she got the used one. Right? Is that really faith? No, faith is being parched and going, this is my only water, and you need it more than I do. Not knowing if there's any more anywhere else. I'm not telling you to jump off a bridge and commit financial suicide. I'm not telling you to do anything crazy. What I'm telling you is to test God, because He says to do that. And just see if He doesn't bless you. Somewhere, somehow, test God. Just test Him. You don't even have to share it with me. You don't even have to give to this church. Just test God. Just test Him. I want you to see it's not about your money and it's not about me. It's all about you. Believe in God, trust in God, stepping out in faith with God, and then receiving the blessing. That's really what it's all about. Because when that happens, your heart's right. Your attitude's right. Stewardship is heart work. And for some, it's very hard work. I'm just praying you do what's right in the sight of God, not man. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to be long because the food's over there and everybody's hungry. If you're here today, there's two things we're going to deal with real quick. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, in other words, if you were to die right now, you are not 100% that you would go to heaven. Nobody's looking around. Would you raise your hand so I can know who you are? Would you be bold enough to raise your hand? I don't know that if I died, I'm going to heaven. If you're here today and you say, man, you know what? I just don't know. I can't expect your attitude to be right toward God if you don't know. And so here's how you receive Christ. In your heart, quietly, you pray this prayer. But you got to mean it. If you don't mean it, don't waste your time or God's. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know my attitude's not right toward you, and my heart's not right toward you, and I have been negative towards you. I recognize that, but today I repent of all that, and I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin.